Today we're going to go and read the story of the birth of Christ. Today is Christmas Day. We celebrate December 25th. And as Luke 2:11 says, the NIV translation, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And we have come to worship Him in Matthew 2:2. But let's go up to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we're just so grateful that we have got Your Word to open up, to look into, and we have Your Holy Spirit to bring us into the truth of Your Word. I ask, Father, that You'll speak to the hearts of those who are listening today and is going to listen to this CD down the road. As Your Word is presented, Father, bring them into the truth of it. Show them the true meaning of Christmas. Show them what the true Christmas spirit is. And once again, Father, I ask that You'll empower me by Your Holy Spirit to preach Your Word for Your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen. We have come to worship Him. Matthew 2:2 states, saying, "Where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him." A point to ponder to start with here. Jesus Christ, this King of the Jews, born this Christmas day, He is troubling to people who do not want to worship Him the way the Bible commands. And it will bring out opposition and hostility in them, in their lives, towards those who truly want to worship Jesus Christ as the Bible commands. You see, persecution and trouble will come to us, to those who want to worship Him as Spirit and Truth. And every year during the Christmas season, all of us hear these words, the Christmas Spirit. We need to have the Christmas Spirit. My question is, what is a Christmas Spirit? Let's evaluate this list I've put together. Although it's just a few of the many phrases suggesting what the Christmas Spirit is, to see biblically if one of these is a Christmas Spirit that everyone is talking about. But let me remind you, we must keep in mind the true meaning of Christmas as we evaluate this list. Since the true Christmas that we are to celebrate as followers of Jesus Christ is about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, you may want to take Christ out of Christmas and add another meaning to the day Christians celebrate, but you cannot change the historical truth that Jesus was born. Yes, Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, let's look at the list. To some people, the Christmas spirit is buying presents for the ones they love, and even for strangers, even if they have to go into debt buying them. To some people, the Christmas spirit is giving of their time, their talent, and their treasure, personal sacrifice to help the less fortunate. To the liquor industry, the Christmas spirit comes in a bottle, which, by the way, makes them a lot of money. Also, some of these alcoholic beverages are even called spirits. To some people, the Christmas spirit is trying to make peace and keep peace with family members they have to gather with during the season, where nobody brings up the issues that would hinder that peace and lead to confrontation. To some people, the Christmas spirit is sending a card that wishes good health, wealth, and prosperity. One writer states, and I will paraphrase, "For many, however, the Christmas season is not so fun at all. For many, the Christmas spirit is one of profound sadness, loneliness, increased depression because all that is wrong in their life. And when their life is measured against the world's facade or make-believe of happiness, the commercialization of the season, it only increases their pain." What is the Christmas spirit? Let's get back to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible to see the biblical way folks are to celebrate Christmas. First of all, let's not forget God's indescribable gift. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. You see, God's indescribable gift, we know, is His Son, Jesus Christ. Our gifts that we give could never, never compare to God's sacrifice He made for us by giving His only begotten Son. Now let's focus on some truths this morning from the Bible concerning the Christmas story. We're going to look at the first Christmas season, and then we're going to look at the Christmas that the wise men from the East, the Magi, attended. Some say this Christmas that they attended could have been 6 months after Christ was born. Others say it could have been up to 2 years. Because as the Bible says, and we're going to read, that Herod killed the babies from 2 years old and younger to see, make sure he could kill the Christ child. As we know, he didn't do it. But let's look and focus on some biblical truth concerning the Christmas story. Let's start in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 47, I'll read to you. Luke 1, verse 26. Now the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, her relative, has also conceived a son in her own age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. So, some biblical truths here. Let me call your attention to the reaction. To the reaction of these concerning the birth of Jesus. See if it's different than today. As we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, this Christmas. Is it different than what the Bible tells us? Back to Luke. Back to Luke. Go down to verse 26. Luke 1, 26 through 28. Let's see this reaction of the angel Gabriel. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, and we're going to see the reaction here of the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." So we see, he says, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Is that different than today? Is that different how people are treating the birth of Christ today? You see, Luke's account, announcement of Jesus' birth, tells the story from Mary's perspective. You see, the angel said, "Blessed are you among women." Mary was blessed because she received God's grace, not because she bestowed it. She received it. And look at Mary's reaction in Luke 1:38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You see, a maidservant suggests humility. Humility before the Lord. And a readiness for faithful and obedient service to the Lord. That should characterize mine and your attitude. Then Mary goes on in 46 and 47 and says, "And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." You don't see no opposition. You see, when the birth of Christ is announced, He is announced with blessing, with joy, with worship. Look at verse 39. Through 45. Once again, let's look at Elizabeth. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." And verse 42 says her reaction. "Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" You see, once again, we see blessings. We see excitement about the announcement of the birth that Jesus Christ was going to be born. You see, the babe which leaped in the womb was John the Baptist. Luke 41:41 says, "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb." The babe was John the Baptist. Because you go back, we know Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. Mary's coming brought a reaction from John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. You see, this Messiah's forerunner gave testimony to the Messiah even before he was born. The angel had predicted to his father Zacharias that the babe would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from the womb. And Elizabeth marveled at the grace that was allowed to her in the role of God's great plan. She knew God owed her nothing, just like He owes us nothing. We owe Him everything. She also knew that God had so much grace and mercy towards her. Now this is a true Christmas spirit. They were not offended or put off. They were blessed. They were rejoicing. They were humble. And they were worshiping God for His grace and mercy, for sending His Son for a way to salvation and the forgiveness of sin that leads back to God the Father. Now, that's some of the reactions. Let's go on here. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. Let's read the Scripture on the birth of Christ in the first Christmas. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 24. Matthew 1, verse 18 through 24. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. And His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with a child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. That's Matthew's account of the first Christmas. Now, let's go over to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and look at this account. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Then since this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who is with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. Now there, in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there is with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem, and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning his child. And all those who heard it marveled at those sayings which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and as it was told to them. I'm going to bring your attention, first of all, to verse 11 of Luke 2. It says, For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, Savior, Christ, and Lord, these three titles together summarize the saving work of Jesus Christ in His sovereign position. What God was called in 147, which was Mary's song, where she says that my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, Jesus is called this here. The word Christ means anointed, referring to Jesus, His royalty, His messianic position. The word Lord was a title of a ruler. The meaning of the word is defined by Peter over in Acts chapter 2, verse 30 through 36. You might go and read that. Where he goes and talks to him. He said, This Lord, this Jesus whom you crucified, He is both Lord and Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 30 through 36. Write that down and you go and read it. You see, Jesus is destined to sit and distribute salvation benefits from God's right hand. He's ruling with the Father. As the text says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, let me call your attention once again to reactions to the birth of Christ in the Gospel of Luke that we just read. And we're going to go on and read some more of how Simeon and Anna reacted. See if it's different to today. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. Let's look at the angel and the multitude of heavenly hosts and their reaction. Luke 2, verse 8 through 14. "Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them," look at their reaction here, "then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" In verse 13 and 14 of Luke 2, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" A little different reaction than what we see today to the birth of Jesus Christ. The angel and the multitude of the heavenly host, they were excited. They said, "Go and tell the people good tidings and great joy. There is a Savior who was born this day, who is Christ the Lord." They were praising God. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What a different reaction it is today. We can't even say Merry Christmas without somebody getting offended. They want to say Happy Holidays. The angel and the multitude of the heavenly host says, "You go tell the people. You go tell the people to have great joy. There's a Savior born. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest." Now let's look at the shepherds. Go down to verse 15 through 20 of Luke 2. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning his child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Verse 20. "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them." See their reaction? They were glorifying and praising God. Let's keep going. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 through 38. Let's look at the reaction of the Simeon and Anna. Luke 2, verse 22 through 38. "Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.' And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph, And his mother marveled at those sayings which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Look at Simeon's reaction. He is astonished. He is excited. He is blessing God for letting him see what God has promised him. He said, My eyes have seen your salvation that you have brought into the world and prepared for all peoples, for the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. But he also said that this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. And this child, that the thoughts of many may be revealed. You see, he also said, Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul to Mary. The sword, the image of a large, broad sword striking Mary. She would suffer much pain in watching the reaction how people rejected Jesus Christ. And he also said that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You see, Jesus Christ, he stated here in the commentary, is a litmus test for those people who will stand before God. Jesus Christ is the judge, and he will judge and expose all the thoughts of all the people of all times. So we see Simeon's reaction. We see him blessing God, him praising God for salvation, but also a warning to the mother. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul because of rejection of Jesus Christ. But he also said that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Jesus Christ will reveal the hearts and the thoughts of all those. And Anna, let's look at Anna's reaction. Verse 36 through 38 of Luke 2. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You see from Scripture, from the story of Christmas, how important the birth of Christ was to those who witnessed the first Christmas. So much different than today. Let me summarize the reactions concerning the birth of Christ. Elizabeth, Zacharias, Mary, the angels and the multitude host, the shepherds, Simeon, Anna, these all basically had one reaction to the birth of Christ. And that one reaction is the true spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas and all those who were involved in the first Christmas was praise, honor, thanks, blessings, and glory to God for the birth of the Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ. Now that is the definition of the spirit of Christmas, which is worship. Now, let's look at the Christmas that the wise men from the east, the Magi, attended. They also give us an example of what the true spirit of Christmas is supposed to be about. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Matthew 2, verse 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Right there, you might underline that in your Bible. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." Even Herod, although he was lying, he said, "That I may come and worship him also." Verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which had they seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, notice, when they come into the house, not the cave, not the barn, when they come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother, young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and what? Worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. I'm going to read to us some of what one pastor says about the spirit of Christmas. I will start, as we've been walking through the Bible, in the commentary of John MacArthur. Let me start there. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. See, Matthew is careful to say that the Magi worshipped him. That is, the child, not his mother. They worshipped Christ, not Mary. No doubt, the Magi were delighted to meet both Mary and Joseph, who had been so specially favored by God to be entrusted with caring for his own son while he grew to manhood. But they worshipped only Jesus. Only he was God, and only he was worthy of adoration. It was also to him that they presented their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Their giving was not so much in addition to their worship as an element of it. Their gifts were an expression of worship given out of an overflowing of adoring and grateful hearts. You see, right worship is always and must be the only basis for right giving and right learning and right service. Giving that is generous but not done, but done apart from a loving relationship with God, is empty giving. Learning that is orthodox and biblical, but is learned apart from knowing and depending on the source of that truth, is empty knowledge. Like that of the chief priests and scribes. Service that is demanding and sacrificial, but done in the power of the flesh for the praise of men, is empty service. Throughout history, gold has been considered the most precious of metals and a universal symbol of material wealth and value. Matthew continually presents Christ as king. And here, we see the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, appropriately being presented with the royal gifts of gold. You see, the Savior of the world is also the true King of the world. And He will not be the Savior of those who will not accept Him as Sovereign Lord. As wonderful as Jesus' Saviorhood was to them, the early Christians' first known creed was, "Jesus is Lord," which was acknowledging Him as Lord of their life. Frankincense was costly, a beautiful smelling incense that was used only for the most special occasions. It was used in the grain offering at the tabernacle in the temple and certain royal processions. Sometimes it was used as weddings if they could afford it. One of the great church fathers, he says, suggests that frankincense was the incense of deity. In the Old Testament, it was stored in a special chamber in front of the temple and was sprinkled on certain offerings as a symbol of the people's desire to please the Lord. Myrrh was also a perfume, not quite so expensive as frankincense, but nevertheless, it was valuable. Some interpreters suggest that myrrh represents a gift for a mortal, which would emphasize Jesus' humanity. This perfume is mentioned often in Scripture, beginning in Genesis. Mixed with wine, it was also used as an anesthetic. And mixed with other spices, it was used in the preparation of bodies for burial, even Jesus' body. So, those were the Magi's gifts to Jesus. Gold for his royalty, frankincense for his deity, and myrrh for his humanity. We do not know what was done with the gifts, but it seems reasonable that they were used to finance the trip to Egypt and to help support the family while they were there. Also, this pastor says that this is the supreme attitude of Christmas. This is the spirit of Christmas, and it is the supreme time of worship for Christians as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. This time of all times is a time of worship. Worship, let me give you a brief definition, is an attitude. It is a spirit, something on the inside. It is an attitude of the heart that is so filled with wonder and gratitude of what God had done that there is not even a thought of our personal blessings, only total abandonment to God in praise and adoration. Now that's worship. It is the most selfless thing we do. It is, as he goes on to say, as one hymn writer puts it, to be lost in wonder, love, and praise. It is to be so grateful and so filled with wonder at what the Lord has done that we lose ourselves in adoring worship, adoring praise. What better time for this than Christmas, when we focus on the very giving of Christ, who is our Savior. In fact, external shadow observances of the birth of Christ is distasteful to God. And most of what goes on in the Christmas season today breaks His heart. You see, superficial worship finds no place of acceptance with God. For example, Isaiah 29:13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. This pastor goes on to say, if I can put Christmas in the Christmas vernacular of the day, they talk about me. They put things about me on their Christmas cards. They sing my carols, but they do not honor me. They have removed me from their heart. There's no heart of worship. There's no heart of true worship for the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, John 4:24 says, Jesus said it to the Samaritan woman, right? God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This pastor goes on and states, if worship for you only happens on Sunday morning, or only happens around the Christmas season, or other special events, you're kidding yourself about whether you're a true worshiper. If worship only happens when things are going well in your life, and you can whistle a tune because you got what you wanted, or because you're happy about the current events in your life, or because your measure of comfort has been met, if worship is connected to that, then you don't understand the real stuff. Because true worship is unaffected by fluctuating circumstances. It doesn't rise and it doesn't fall. It is the constant praise that comes from deep within the soul, because that which is spiritually true is unchanging. It never changes. What is a Christmas spirit? It's worship, in a word. Worship. Nothing more and nothing less. And as the wise men from the east said, for we have seen the star in the east and have come to worship Him. As we conclude, once again, every year during the Christmas season, all of us hear the words, the Christmas spirit. We have to have the Christmas spirit. My question is, what is the Christmas spirit? Once again, let's evaluate this list. of just a few of the phrases about the Christmas spirit to see, after we looked at the Bible, if it biblically matches up with what the Christmas spirit really is. As I said before, to some people, the Christmas spirit is buying presents for the ones they love, and even for strangers, even if they have to go into debt buying them. To some people, the Christmas spirit is giving. Giving of their time, talent, and treasure. Personal sacrifice to help the less fortunate. To the liquor industry, the Christmas spirit comes in a bottle, in which some of these are even called spirits. To some people, the Christmas spirit is trying to make peace and keep peace with family members they have to gather with this Christmas season, where nobody brings up the issues that would hinder that peace and lead to confrontation. To some people, the Christmas spirit is sending a card that wishes good health, wealth, and prosperity. So, as you can see after looking at the Bible, that none of these phrases truly capture the Christmas spirit. Even if you have tried all of these, I promise you that they will not fully fulfill you completely. We must keep in mind the true meaning of Christmas as we go through this Christmas season, since the true Christmas that we are to celebrate is about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and worshiping Him and Him alone. You see, you may want to take Christ out of Christmas and add another meaning or even a name to the day Christmas and the day that Christians celebrate, but you cannot change the historical truth that Jesus Christ was born into this world, God in the flesh, and that Almighty God, the Father, commands everyone to worship Him. You see, Jesus is the reason for the season. And yes, one day, every knee will bow to Him. As Paul said in Philippians 2, 5-11, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to close this morning by reading to you the lyrics to a couple of Christmas carols. First of all, O Come, All Ye Faithful. The original Latin text consists of four stanzas of O Come, All Ye Faithful. The first stanza calls us to visualize anew the infant Jesus in Bethlehem stable. I will read that to you. It says, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. The second stanza is usually omitted. Let me read that to you. It talks about Christ's child as very God himself. It says, God of God, in light of light, begotten low, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Very God, begotten, not created. O come, let us adore him. The next stanza, for us, exalt the songs of angelic choir by the lowly shepherds. Stanza 3, sing choirs of angel, sing in exaltation. Sing all ye bright host of heaven, above glory to God, all glory in the highest. And the final verse offers praise and adoration to the Word, our Lord, who was with the Father from beginning of time. It says, Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be all glory given Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. So, O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. In silent night, holy night, when this beloved hymn was written by two humble church leaders for their own mountain village parishioners. Little did they know and realize how universal this song would be and the influence and the impact on people. It says, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at thy birth, Jesus, Lord at thy birth." So silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, sleep in heavenly peace. So as this Christmas day, allow the peaceful strains of this carol to help you worship in awe with the shepherds and sing alleluia with the angels for God's redeeming grace. Let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, once again, we just want to thank you for your word you've given us. We thank you for sending your Son to this world. I pray, Father, that those who are listening are going to listen, that they listen to your word, that they have never truly celebrated Christmas the way it should have been. Because first of all, they have never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I ask, Father, that you will, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open up their eyes to who Jesus is and of the sin in their life and grant them salvation in your Son. And allow them to celebrate Christmas for the first time. Now for us, Father, that you have graciously granted us salvation, that you will help us to go throughout this Christmas season. Help us to look at it biblically and not get caught up in the world of what the world says Christmas is. Help us to remember, as we celebrate, we're celebrating the birth of God incarnate, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And help us and give us the opportunity to go out and share that hope within us. For your glory, it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.